If you turn with me in your Bibles to Book of Joshua and chapter 1. Book of Joshua chapter 1, and we'll begin at verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And then if we can turn over to chapter 3 of Joshua and verse 5, it says, And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Let's just pray once again. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you still speak to us today. We thank you that it's a living word and that you're a living God. And we pray, Lord, that by the Holy Spirit you would speak to each one of us, Lord. Lord, that we would see the Lord Jesus afresh. We would be taken deeper into him. Lord, that we would be taken into a deeper place of fellowship, a deeper walk with you, Lord. Lord, our desire is this morning that we would be taken into deeper places, deeper spiritual places, we pray, Lord. And Lord, that your name would be glorified in our lives and in the life of this fellowship, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think of the 40 years that preceded this, and we think of the wilderness wandering, and we think of the people of God wandering around for 40 years, and when we think of what took place during that 40 years, we see so much of the goodness of God. We see his care and his loving provision to them. We see how it records how their shoes did not wear out, and how it speaks of the various small victories that they had in the wilderness, of how they were provided for, they were sustained by the food that was given to them, the drink that was given to them, the water, and how they were guided, and the Lord promised to guide them and did guide them. And when we think of all that, we might begin to ask, well, what more should they want? What more should they want? They knew the care of the Lord. They knew the provision of the Lord. They knew the Lord guiding them and leading them. They even knew victories. And in that situation, we might ask, well, what more could anyone want? And it may be our testimony this morning, and I'm sure it is our testimony that we can say this morning that, well, the Lord has protected my walk. He's upheld my walk, just as he caused their shoes not to wear out. Therefore, he has also upheld my walk. He's protected my feet and the way I would go. And I've known victories, and maybe each one of us, we surely can say, yes, we've known victories in our lives. We've had that testimony of the victories of the Lord, and we've known the provision of the Lord, him just providing us those wonderful blessings that we've known each through our lives. And we can certainly say that we've known the guidance of the Lord, and where we've sought him, he's shown us the way to go and directing our paths. And we've had all these testimonies, and the children of Israel, the people of God, had all these testimonies in the wilderness. They had the same testimonies. They had the testimonies of the provision of God. They had the testimonies of the Lord upholding them and guiding them and protecting them. And they could speak of the wonders of the Lord. And I'm sure that we can each one recount the wonderful blessings of God and recall what he has done for us. And so we might then say, well, what more could the people of God want? And I wonder if the same might be true of us. We might be saying, well, what more could I want? The Lord has protected me, the Lord has guided me, and the Lord has protected me and been my shield. What more could I want? But that doesn't get to the heart of the question, because the reality is, the real question is that the real issue was that there was so much more available for them. There was so much more for the people here. There was so much more for these children as they passed through the wilderness. There was so much more available, and this is what they were about to enter into as we read this passage. As we read the book of Joshua, what we see is an account of the people of God going into their inheritance, going into the riches of the blessings of God, going into a deeper experience of the Lord, taken deeper into the Holy of Holies, taken into a deeper place of victory and life, an experience of God, and an experience of God that they'd never encountered before. And that's true of each one of us. You see, we can be glorifying God, and we can say, God has provided for me, and he has protected me, and he has been my nourishment all these years. But at the same time, and it doesn't matter how young or how old, he wants to take you into a deeper place with him, a deeper experience of him, a deeper a place of victory, deeper place of life. And that's what's available to each one of us, and it's this inheritance that is open to each one of us. They were told to go up and to enter in. And this is why they'd been taken out of Egypt. They'd been taken out of Egypt in order to go in to their inheritance. And there is an inheritance for each one of us. There's an inheritance of victory and life. Now, if we look at their life in the wilderness, there they were going round and round. And I wonder this morning if that feels as if that's your spiritual experience. You feel as if you've passed by this way so many times. You've passed by this same experience, and you feel as if that you've encountered the same defeats. You've come past this way and found that you've encountered the same battles and encountered the same defeats, and all the time you're looking for this place of victory, but you get those moments of victory, and then you find yourself defeated again, and it's this circular walk, and it feels like a circular experience, and never really going forward. And the thing about the Christian life of victory and the experience that we should be experiencing in the fullness of the inheritance that is available for us as the people of God, is that it's not a circular march, but it's a forward march. You see, when they went into the promised land, they had one victory, and they took the land, and then they went further and took that land, and then they went further, another victory, and they took that land, and it was all the time entering further in to the promises of God, entering in further to their inheritance, entering further into the land that the Lord had given them. It wasn't a circular walk, but it was going from one victory to another victory, and entering in and taking more of the promises of God, and entering more into the blessings and of God. And so that they were, as it says, it was a land of milk and honey, and they were and it speaks of it in the book of Joshua of a place of vineyards. And they were, as they won these victories, they were taking more of this land of milk and honey, more of this land of vineyards, and more of this fruitful land. And he says, this is how it should be with the Christian experience. We should be going in deeper and deeper to that inheritance, deeper and deeper into the life of God, deeper and deeper into victories. And so that we're seeing greater miracles in our lives. And so often, We are content with the small things in our experience. We can be content, and we look back to past experiences, and we're content with those. And without seeing that every victory and every demonstration of the goodness of God and every manifestation of God's power, and him taking them deeper into his promises and into that inheritance, every time he did that, it was to build their faith so that they would have greater faith for the greater battle that was about to come. And that's what we see throughout the book of Joshua. It says in verse 6 of chapter 1 that we read, it says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." You see, he was countering, the Lord was coming with a word that would counter their unbelief. It was unbelief that had caused them not to enter into the promises in the first place, into the promised land. And it's unbelief that causes us not to enter in to all that God has got for us. And so often we fall short of all that God has got for us. But when we do see God working and responding to our faith and responding to our cries and responding to our prayers, it's so that that faith will rise up for the next battle. And we see that through the account in the book of Joshua. We see how they're told, "Do not fear as you come against Jericho." And they go forward, and they're obedient to the Lord's command, and they go against Jericho, and Jericho is defeated. And then later on, after a first defeat, they then go against Ai. And then later on, the kings come against them, and they join up with people of Gibeon, and they join with them, and they have a wonderful victory, and the Lord sends hail upon the people, and they have a marvelous victory. But there they have five kings coming against them, and then later on another group of kings come against them, and they have this marvelous victory there. And each time they've seen a victory, and faith has risen up in their heart. And because faith has risen up in their heart, they're able to go forward in faith to greater victories. And I wonder if that's our experience of the Christian walk, where we're entering into deeper victories, and as each battle presents itself, as each temptation, we're faced with each temptation, we have that victory because we're marching forward in faith, because faith is growing. And I wonder this morning, is your faith increasing? Is your faith increasing? Because every experience you have of the goodness of God, and every experience that you have of the power of God, and every demonstration of God working his power through you, is meant to cause you to grow in faith so that you have greater faith for the next battle, for the next challenge, and God has called you to enter in to the promises and the inheritance of God. And the only way that you can enter in to the inheritance of God, the only way you can enter into all those promises is by faith. If we think of the disciples and how prior to Pentecost and how they were walking around in circles. It was a circular experience. They'd have the triumphs, and then they'd have the defeats. And then we see after Pentecost, they're entering into the promises, they're entering into the inheritance, they're entering into the victories of God. They're knowing victory after victory. And the same should be true of us. Are we seeing miracles in our day? Are we seeing miracles in our own experience, and greater miracles? Are we seeing healings and greater healings? Are we seeing the manifestation of the Spirit and greater manifestations of the Spirit in our life? Are we seeing the boldness to share the gospel and then greater boldness? Are we having those opportunities to share the gospel with people? But then we're finding ourselves being taken into greater experiences of sharing the gospel. Are we taking into deeper works of ministry for the Lord, and taken into deeper service for the Lord? Because that faith that has risen up in your heart to serve the Lord and to be obedient and to see God give you the power to do that work that you've done previously, that faith that has risen up and so that you are now doing things that you never thought you would ever do, even even the simplest things you find you're now doing that you'd never have done before, but that is to lead you to a place where you can trust the Lord more, so he takes you deeper into an experience with him, so you have greater boldness and greater experience in ministry and serving him. And so I wonder this morning, are you being taken to a deeper place with him and a greater miracles in your life? Or are you still on the same spiritual level, same spiritual experience, where you're saying, yes, the Lord cares for me. My testimony is that the Lord cares for me. He provides for me. He guides me. He protects me. He upholds my walk. And I can just trust him. And he's doing that all the time. But what about that deeper experience of the Lord? And he wants to take each one of us in to that. A glorious inheritance. And what we really see is that being unveiled to us in the book of Ephesians. And I just want to draw our attention to just some verses in the letter to the Ephesians. In chapter 1 and verse 18 it says, this prayer, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That we might experience the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, to usward, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Are we experiencing that great power? Have we seen it? Have we seen that it's available? Are we really experiencing just the exceeding greatness of his power? First of all, let's think of the power of God. And then it says the greatness of his power. And then it says the exceeding greatness of his power. And this is available to each one of us. And we receive it by faith. That is how we enter in. And it says that Christ has been set over every principality and every power and every dominion. Now, if that is true, and we're in Christ, and we're experiencing the power of Christ, and that same power that raised Christ from the dead, then we have that power in Christ by the Holy Spirit to withstand every power and every dominion and every authority that might come against us. So every power that might come against us, every temptation, we can withstand because of the power that is in Christ. We can withstand, and we can stand firm. When we see a dark world around us, and the Lord says to us to be light in a dark world, how can we shine brightly in a dark world? Well, it's because of the exceeding greatness of the power of Christ working its way out of us. It's because of the greatness of his glory shining forth from us. And it's us being taken into deeper places of the miraculous. And I believe with all my heart that there is that promise. There are those promises before us. There's an inheritance. There's a land. There's a richness of an experience with Christ that he wants to take us further into. And that's our inheritance. That's the promise. It's the promised land of a deep experience with Christ. And yes, it says that we can go into the holy place and receive grace for our time of need. But he wants to take us deeper and deeper into that Holy of Holies. A deeper and deeper experience of Christ. A deeper experience of the life of Christ. Constantly experiencing more and more of the Lord Jesus. But we have to enter in by faith. And every time we have our faith is built up, it's to take us to a place where we're trusting him more. And depending upon him more, and believing him for greater things, and greater miracles, and greater depths of experience of his life in us, and greater healings, that we would experience this in our day. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, "We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." He's laid out these good works for us to do. But how can we walk in them? How can we do that which God has called us to do? All those works. And he's called all of us to work. To do his work. To be his servants. And if he's called us to be his servants, then God, who is a great God, has called us to great works. God has not called us to do small things, but he's called us to do great works, because God is a great God and God is a powerful God. Therefore, he's called us to these great works, and he's created us for that work. But how can we walk in them? But it's by faith. It's by trusting in him, and it's by depending upon him, and it's by faith, leaning upon him that his power might be demonstrated in us and through us, that we might enter into all that the promises of God, all the inheritance, all that rich land. There's a rich land, a rich experience of God that we can be experiencing day by day, each one of us. And then in chapter 3 of Ephesians and verse 16 it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory. It says, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Do we really believe it? Do we really believe that that's something that God is able to do and wants to do and desires to do in our life? Things that are beyond our imagination, beyond anything that we've ever asked before, because that's what he wants to take each one of us into. He wants to take us into an experience of him, an experience of his life, an experience of his power working itself out in our lives day by day, the miraculous, the supernatural, new things in our life, and taking into those things far more than God simply caring for us and looking after us and guiding us, but far deeper, a deeper walk with the Lord, a deeper experience of him. It says that we might know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. A love of Christ from him to us. A love that is so deep and taken deeper into the love of Christ. But why? So that we might have that deep love for others. That's why he wants to take us into a deeper love with him. So that we can manifest that love to those around us, to our brothers and sisters, and have a deep love for them, and to have that love for the world. You see, when we enter into the love of Christ, then we have that same love for the world. When we really have experienced the love of Christ, we will have such a love for the world that will surpass understanding. That's the sort of love that we will have. And it is only when we enter in by faith, enter into that experience of the love of Christ, that we will really have that deep love for others. It says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. What more could we want than that? Oh, the riches of his glory, that we would be manifesting the very glory of Christ. That's what it's about. It's manifesting the glory of Christ. And God wants to do that in a supernatural way in each one of our lives. And that is all about entering into the promises of God. It's all about entering into that wondrous inheritance. But then, just in really by way of concluding, I want to just see at the beginning of that passage that we read in Joshua chapter 1, says this. It says, Moses my servant is dead, in verse 2 of chapter 1. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And who was going to lead them in? It was going to be Joshua. And in the passage that we read in chapter 3, it says, the Lord will do wonders among you. And this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. And the living God is among you, that he will without fail drive out from you the enemies. There was going to be a great demonstration of the wonders of God. There was going to be a great demonstration of his power defeating every enemy that we might have, every stronghold, everything that we might feel as if we can never overcome, every sin, every temptation. a victorious life, overcoming every fear, fear of man, fear of the future, all of these fears overcome because we're walking in faith and walking in the promised land and walking in the power of God. But what brought them in? It was Joshua that brought them in. And Joshua is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses could not take them into the promised land. And Moses is a type of the law. And you cannot enter into the promised land and you cannot enter into the inheritance while you're trying to enter in by gritting your teeth and by using all your effort to obey the law, because it could not do it because of our weakness. We cannot get in by just trying to keep the commandments because of our failure. But Christ says, I will bring you into all of this inheritance. I will bring you into this life with me. I will bring you into all this inheritance. I'm going to bring you in by way of my death. You enter into my death and you come through the Jordan. By my death you will enter in. By faith in me, that's how you're going to enter in. And you're going to enter into this new life and the promises and the glories of God. And that's how you're going to enter in. And you will know a life of the miraculous. You'll know a life of the riches of his blessings. And you'll know a life of all the promises of God being fulfilled in your life and your heart. And the experience of that boldness of standing firm against the enemy, and how we sung in our opening hymn, and how it says that we'll tread the enemy down, and how we'll be victorious, and it speaks of that victory, and each one of us will be walking in victory, but it's by faith. And it's by cleaving to the Lord Jesus and by trusting in him and his death. And it's not trusting in our own efforts to keep the law, but it's trusting in Christ, because Christ will bring us through, and Christ will bring you into the promises, and Christ will bring you into the land of inheritance, a good land, a rich land, a land of blessing. And this is taking you far deeper than just the Lord caring for you. It's far deeper than the Lord guiding you. It's far deeper than the Lord protecting you. It's a deeper, deeper experience. It's the fullness of the power and the glory and the goodness and the riches of God for each one of us. But we enter in by faith, and we enter in by the Lord Jesus Christ, who takes us in, and we set our eyes on him, and he takes us through by his death into the life and the wondrous life that is his. Amen.